This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Everybody, it is that time of the week. It's time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all week, and the last Tuesday before jolly old Saint Nick makes his way down the chimney.
Yeah.
Welcome today in studio with me as always.
Matt Dixon.
Or at least may as well be always. Sometimes you're on vacay, but you know what? I'm stoked to have you here today.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Are we talking about Christmas?
We are.
I mean, it's that time of the season. Now, have you ever really gotten in the spirit? Like really, really gotten in the spirit?
I feel like I get 2 months out of the year where I kind of go for it.
Have you ever actually dressed up as Santa Claus and deceived little children?
No.
The beard?
But I have...
Is it on your bucket list? I feel like that'd be on your bucket list.
That might be fun one day if I earn it. Like, if the beard turns white, that'd be fun.
Oh, you want to do it all natural. You don't even want a fake one.
Yeah, I think I would do that.
Okay.
But I would prefer if I could be, like, a super buff in shape Santa that had to wear a pillow.
Why don't you just do it next year? Grow the beard way out, and instead of your natural beard color, like, go out of your way to, like, dye it gray. So, like, purposely, like, age yourself just for a season, and then the day after Christmas, you can dye it right back to normal.
I would just shave it off and let it grow back. I don't know that I could pull that one off.
I feel like you'd have to start growing it in September, though.
I probably have to start growing it now.
It's legal, because, I mean, hunting season, right? Like, everyone should have a big, burly beard for hunting season, so your face doesn't get cold.
Well, you know, the funny thing for me and beards, too, is... I've not gotten past the phase where I let things grow out very much. When I keep it fairly short, it's all right. But if it starts getting longer, then it's like itchy.
What's the longest you've ever let it grow? Like an inch?
No, it's never gotten that long. Hmm. Probably more like half an inch. And then I'm going, not cool. Even having a beard, so this is kind of, my wife likes the beard, or at least she liked a shadow. She likes me to have kind of a 5 o'clock shadow.
What's the comment been when you've gotten it like at its longest? Is it like, hey, you need to clean this up?
No, not usually.
Oh, well, you have a green light then. You have literally no excuses now to not be Santa Claus next year.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I mean, so we've that's a 2026
goal.
I'm not calling it a goal for me, but apparently it's a goal that you're placing on me.
Yes. You've been assigned a goal.
All right. Well, you know, I'm not opposed.
Hey,
Christmas really is a holiday.
My marketing brain is turning on, right?
Fun.
We can do an event for the firm where we open up the doors and let people in to see, you know, what we're about. But they're really not there to necessarily see the firm. They just want a free encounter with Santa Claus. So you can be the face of the firm and also be the face of Santa Claus, all in one. So many new people walking through the door. They wanted to see Santa Claus, but they got financial services.
Because that's exactly how people think about Christmas.
Yeah.
Although, super relevant to today's show, we are, you know, talking about where does financial planning live in the Christmas discussion.
Okay, well, let's dive into that Christmas spirit and kind of talk a little bit
about
that. By
the way, a Christmas spirit, I think I've worn the Christmas Crocs like every day this season to work.
Yep.
So this become a thing. So my wife, Heather, got me a pair of Crocs that is, they're green and it's got like this Christmas plaid on it.
It looks like a present. Kind of.
And so I've been wearing them pretty much the whole time. Because remember, I have 2 months. It's December and August. What's August, Matt?
Aloha.
Aloha August.
Yep.
Where we get to wear Hawaiian shirts for the month. Which I think more people should adopt that as a celebration. Just saying. We're trendsetters. We started it early. But Aloha August, it's a good thing.
Flannel November.
Yeah, I never got into that one as much, but I have just kind of leaned into like all the Christmas silly t-shirts for December.
Ah,
and you kind of have to be where, you know, we live in a fairly moderate, and is it just me or has it been super mild this December?
It's probably the most mild December I can ever remember.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't felt like winter at all.
No, I had the first, like two nights ago, I walked outside and it was actually chilly. And I was like, huh, This is the first time I felt cold in a year.
Well, what's so crazy is the stark difference between the weather we've been getting here versus just like 60 to, you know, 100 miles north of us where there's been like some crazy flooding.
Yes.
And like stuff's underwater and landslides of epic proportion, like stuff's just hitting the fan. We got cities that are basically underwater, and then we're over here like it's barely rained and it hasn't been cold.
Yeah, how easy we've gotten it overall. And that seems to be the case so frequently. You know, I could think of that one big snow back in like 2019 or whatever. Yeah. But we largely have pretty moderate weather.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is great. So, okay, well, enough about the weather and enough about all of the t-shirts I like to wear. I guess we should talk about Christmas and money and how that all fits together, because I think we're all aware that it's the holiday season. And I don't know, it's Christmas in my house. I realize that there are other holidays that people celebrate, but I don't really apologize for that one. It's Christmas in my house, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And if that offends you, I guess you could change the channel. But, you know, I don't think it should offend you. I think it should just be, all right, well, you can listen to somebody else's point of view.
Yeah. Well, talk to me. I mean, you mentioned it's Christmas at your house. Obviously, it's, you know, it's Christmas at mine as well. What does this kind of holiday season mean to you and your family? What are some of the big kind of cornerstones of Christmas?
Well, I mean, there's the faith-based components of it that are taking on a bigger and bigger role as I age, right? I think as a kid, I was really just pulled into the commercial nature of it. You know, hey, this is Christmas. This is where we get presents, right? That's cool. I get stuff.
Right.
Today, there was a transition where I enjoy giving stuff every bit as much, if not more so, than getting it. Getting stuff is neat, but when somebody takes the time to be thoughtful about it, it's less about the gift than the connection with the person.
Right.
Giving a cool gift and seeing somebody really enjoy it, to me, has taken on more meaning as I've gotten older. So there's that, which I think also speaks a little bit to the heart of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, you guys out there, if you haven't heard what this was all about, literally that, you know, Christ is in the name. So this is where we don't specifically know Jesus's birthday. We're pretty sure it's not December, actually.
Right.
Right. We're pretty confident it's not December. It's probably more like summertime as you kind of back through all of the different historical evidence and approximate there. But it was chosen to be celebrated, you know, probably, you know, centuries ago. And for lots of different reasons, it kind of aligned with Christmas holidays and some other politics of the day and whatnot. But there it stuck, and it's evolved ever since. And today we've got all these icons of the season, whether it's the Christmas tree or the Santa hat and the red suits and the whites and greens. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus' birthday that we're celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you look at like who Saint Nick was, right? Like the guy was actually
a real person
and he really gave gifts. And you know, you look at like the wise men, right? And then the story of the wise men saying, "Oh, you know, like Christ is born, we're going to go give gifts."
Yep.
So it really is a season of giving, not necessarily receiving. And I think there's a lot of cool parts about Christmas, because you think about like maybe go back to your own childhood, right? What are the things that you remember? You remember it being a time of family, giving Thanksgiving, right? Like being together. There's a lot of traditions, whether it was...
Certainly, I mean, I guess I'm speaking for our house. That's what I remember.
Well, yeah, I'm speaking
for myself,
too.
That's why the Christmas holiday was a big deal, is it was all these family markers.
The family's
I know it's not like that for everybody. You know, Christmas is not a joyous season for everybody out there.
Sure.
So
I mean, yeah. But I think largely, I would guess that for most people it is, unless there was like some tragic death or something during that time of year. But
or maybe you didn't have a different country, you know?
Yeah. Or you didn't have like a real strong family tie growing up. Like if you hated your parents, maybe Christmas time was kind of a sour point, because it's like, well, I'd love for a family to be together and we're really not. So
sure.
I'm sure.
Well, and that's
I'm sure,
it is a... in that respect, it can be polarizing because, but I think let's just kind of operate under the assumption. Yeah. For most of us, there's a lot of memories associated with it, hopefully some really good ones.
But it was probably never about like the money side of it, right? Like you never looked at all of your gifts and were like, oh, you know, I cleared like an $800 set of gifts this season, right? Yeah. Like I don't think many people operate on that regard.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some, and but let's be real, the money side of it, I think there's some real social pressure
that
has
part
materialized,
true.
And that social pressure comes with some financial pressure too, because now you've got these different people, you know, you're giving gifts or you're getting gifts, but you're comparing. Especially kids. I think that's a brutal part is, you know, come January, people are back at school and it's like, are people keeping score with gifts?
Yeah, I hope not.
That is something that I really dislike that. I mean, I loathe the idea that people are keeping score. You'll hear me say this a lot. Money is, it's a measurement, but it's not a measurement of your character.
Right.
Right. You know, you can have a whole bunch of money and be a terrible person. You can have very little money and be a great person. It has nothing to do with the money. Right. Mm-hmm. That your character is really separate and independent from your resources.
Yeah.
So I am not a fan. That's if there was a part of the season I don't like, the commercialization and the pressure and the stress that it can put on people. Because I'll tell you what, I've seen people make bad financial decisions because they are conforming to a lot of social pressure about this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's some of what I would love for us to really talk to today is, you know, how can we calibrate Christmas so that it means something that's, I think, good. Again, for my family, this is about Jesus' birthday, and Jesus is a big deal. Okay, but that's one of those. I'm not going to evangelize a bunch on the radio. That's not the point. But it is okay for us to be faith-forward enough to say, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, I would rarely say something like this, but I would also say, you call the office if you want to talk about this, and I will talk to you about it. It's not financial, but you can call, and I will talk to you about this, because I think it's a big deal. But that's not the point of the show. The point of the show is to kind of go through. So we've got, you know, there are some things about money and Christmas that I think bear discussion. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
So as I look at our agenda here, like we got a bunch to dive into. The first one is, and I really, what I think we should do, we should take our break, but I want to let people know when we come back, like money is part of Christmas, but it's so much more. And we have, this is like a really affordable hack that we're going to offer right out of the gate to make Christmas, to increase its meaning.
Yeah.
But we are going to take our first break. So we're going to do that. When we come back, first hack of Christmas, this is how to make the money immediately go farther in the ways that matter.
I like that.
For Christmas. So we'll do that when we come back, but first this break. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
And we're having a Christmas special. If you want to get caught up, remember, if you're just joining us, there is a podcast.
Perfect.
Matt, where do they find our podcasts?
Okay, we have this fancy website that's super cool.
True.
It's littlejohnfs, as in financial services.com. The moment you click on the website,
cool,
an entire world will open up to you that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, we're going to overpromise a lot here. Keep going.
Yes, you're going to be wowed right out of the gate. You're going to say, who are these really cool people? I want to get to know them. And then there's going to be all this educational, you know, resources that are on display. And you'll spend probably the next year and a half just watching content and getting a lot smarter to the point to where you realize this is too much, and then you're going to hire us.
Sold here.
Yeah.
I'm listening to going, how do they find the podcast? Well, first of all, you're going to be a better human being. And second of all, you're going to be moved to tears. So go to the Knowledge Center, and there is an area where you can see all of the podcasts and blogs and so forth. You can also subscribe through Apple or Android or wherever the various podcast services are.
It was a love story right out of the gate. The moment they laid eyes on the website, they just fell in love.
It's unbelievable. Matt, we promised at the break we were going to talk about kind of a hack that is a non-financial hack that really ups the Christmas game. Now, I think this actually works in general for gift giving across the board.
Okay.
So before I give away this little hack or this idea, maybe idea is a better thing, but the internet sells the word hack so much more, right? Can you think of a handful of memories? And so everybody out there listening right now, I want you to just kind of like pause for a moment and look back. And are there any particularly joyful or remarkable memories that stand out from Christmas past in your mind?
Yeah, I can think of a few. And it's going to sound like I'm ripping off that movie, A Christmas Story. But I'm not. So bear with me. I wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. Like, really, really bad. Or actually, sorry, no. This was a 22. I had a Red Ryder BB gun, and I wanted my first
so
real gun.
So it's just like another notch, right?
Yeah, I wanted to take Emerald that Lagasse step style. Higher. Yeah. And my brother and I, we both really wanted 22s, right? And so it's something we've wanted. We've killed enough birds and lizards with the BB guns. We want to graduate, right, to being able to kill squirrels and all the other things that a 22 will do for you.
Because what has the squirrel done to you?
Well, that's a whole nother story.
They're destructive, yeah. That's we're not talking about that.
No. Look,
it's traumatic, okay? All right, go on.
But so my parents decided that they were going to be really funny. And they wrapped up a series of like ketchup bottles, mustard bottles, relish, like all the things for like what you would think would be hot dogs. And so there was all these gifts under the tree, and we're opening all of these things. And they're like, do you get the theme, you know, like we know you guys really, really like hot dogs, and it's one of your favorite foods. So we just got you everything you could ever think of, you know, for a hot dog. And then
I'm already loving your parents more right now.
And because we never got to eat them growing up, they were banned from the house because
the hot dogs were disallowed.
Yeah, they weren't allowed because they had sodium nitrate in them and all the other preservatives, and we only ate like healthy organic food. And so hot dogs were out, and we always tormented my parents about this. And so Christmas was just all the stuff for hot dogs. And we get done opening all the presents, and you know, we're just
like
looking
all the things for hot dogs except for the hot dogs.
Yeah, and so we're just looking at each other like,
what just happened here?
Yeah, like what? Like no toys, just hot dogs. And they let this keep going for a while. And so Zach and I were a little bummed out, but we were like, well, they were really trying to be sweet, you know. They thought of a pretty inventive gift. We're going to be eating a lot of hot dogs this year. And eventually they come around and they're like, you know, we thought we heard like Santa Claus or something come down the chimney last night. And we're young kids, right? And we're like, what's the angle here? Turns out they had wrapped up but they had left out one of the pieces of the hot dog. And I think it was like you just said, like the actual hot dog. And so they had wrapped up the 22s and put them behind the couch in what looked like, I think they had like hand run like a hot dog thing. And so like we're like tearing apart the wrapper to get the hot dog portion of the meal. And no, it was the 22s. And so we got the one thing that we wanted that year. But whenever I think of, you know, a 22, I always think of a hot dog now. So, but it was a fun scavenger hunt. And yeah.
And see,
I ended up proposing to my wife using the same tactic, which was
a bunch of stuff for hot dogs.
No, kind of close. No, it was like, oh, you know, I gave her all the gifts. And at the very end, I was like, you know, I think I heard Santa come down the chimney last night. And then she went and ended up finding the ring. But it was, you know, ended up reusing the same kind of tactic. So
the lesson here is what? So it wasn't the 22 in and of itself that made this such a remarkable.
We just
gift.
Remember
you wanted it.
Yeah, we just remember opening relish. Like what?
Yeah. So the hack on this one is the gift itself was incorporated into an experience,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you remembered this experience.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
That's the part that, to me, is really remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had, I remember having one white Christmas.
Oh, really?
It was in North Carolina, of all things. And that's just kind of a strange story, but I was in North Carolina having a Christmas. And that was a Christmas where somehow, unbeknownst to me how this was conjured, but we got a go-kart for Christmas, which was not expected.
Right.
But what I remember is being able to tear around in the snow-covered streets with a go-kart. And it was cold and slushy and wet and everything else. And flipping awesome.
Yeah.
So that experience was just seared into my mind as like, that was amazing. Right.
Right.
And so that Christmas was a real high point because of that. The funny thing is, I don't remember, I do remember snapshots of what it looked like and all, but it was that experience around the gift that was such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that makes it a more, you know, we're talking about, well, a go-kart's still not an inexpensive gift. No, that is true. That is true. But there are other scenarios that I can think of where had gifts that were not particularly expensive at all.
Yeah.
But they just really landed because they were very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a funny one. Recently, somebody in the office got me. We had making Office Space jokes.
Okay.
So the movie Office Space, there's a character that Milton, who's not, he's kind of a weird dude. And he has some fetish for a stapler. It's a red swingline stapler. And we were making quotes about the movie and joking to each other. And he got me the stapler for Christmas. The red swingline stapler.
That's
and
awesome.
Like, it was great, right? I mean, a stapler is not a terribly expensive gift in the scheme of things, but it was also like, that was so awesome because we'd had that moment that we shared and it just brought all of it home and it was like, oh, that's the best.
That's pretty
so
cool.
So I now have a red swing line stapler on my desk.
Yep, and that'll probably be the only stapler you ever use from now until
for
the end
of time. Remainder of my career. I believe you have my stapler.
Yeah.
So I will not be letting that go anytime soon.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, how the gift is connected to somebody really means something.
Correct.
And the older we get, the more so.
Yeah.
You know, and so all the way to the point where, you know, sometimes it's like a gift is almost a nuisance. It just being remembered and thought of. And so, like, it's like the art of getting a handwritten card is a big deal. When you're at a point where, ask somebody when they're 90 years old if they want stuff. They don't want stuff.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, I'm getting rid of stuff. One day I'm going to die and all the stuff's going to be left over. I don't need stuff. What I really care about is the relationships in my world.
Right.
And weird. What a theme we've talked about on this show forever.
Yep.
Right? That money's how you trade your time, but real currency is memories and relationships. That's what it matters, right? Those memories. Because although I'll bet you probably still have that 22, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I don't get rid of guns.
Yes.
The collection is
But I'll bet
out
you have
control.
More than that 22 now.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you have other 22s in addition to that even.
Yep.
See,
yep.
This is the thing. That gift was meaningful because of all of the memories associated with it.
Right.
That's the thing that's the magic.
And it did go on to kill a lot of squirrels.
Yes. And again, we can't talk about squirrels. It's too
bloody Christmas.
Somewhere. The cool part is like half of our listeners are like, awesome. And then there's a handful of them. They're like, what did that squirrel do to you, man?
No. Now, hold on. I guess I got to kind of save myself from the people that don't understand this world. We go to farmers' fields where the squirrels,
they are literally, it's like pest control because they're destructive.
Like thousands and thousands of them in a single field. And then they, you know, they burrow holes underneath your fence post so your fence falls down. And then your field ends up getting destroyed where you're trying to grow your crop. And so what you're really doing is just lowering the number down so that the fields don't get
eradicated. Yeah, it is farming control. And that's a real thing.
Do you want to know one of the coolest parts, though?
I do.
Is watching the bald eagles in the trees. bees starting to like lick their lips, you know? And the moment you leave, the falcons and the eagles and anything in the area that fly.
A buffet!
Oh, it is. Like, there was one time we shot a field and I think we shot for like 6 hours straight. And we probably killed over 1,000 easily. And we didn't even dent the population. And we left. And then we went back to the house. And you could see from the ranch house down into the field. And there had to have been 100 birds. And they were just, they ate to their heart's content.
Well, there you go. Circle of life.
And you know what's crazy? The digger squirrels will eat each other. They're cannibalistic. And so we fed the squirrels. We fed the birds. Everyone won.
And this, the True Wealth Show, ladies and gentlemen.
So if you really want to, if you really want to feel wealthy this season, get yourself a 22 and a couple bricks of shells and go on a squirrel hunt.
All right. And with that,
you're like, I'm taking this.
We're gonna take a break. Yeah, we're gonna take a break.
We gotta get Matt off air.
We need to. We're gonna take a break. So
he's losing it.
Guys,
he's losing it.
We'll be back where we probably aren't gonna be talking about squirrels. I don't know. But we gotta take a break first. I'm Dave Littlejohn
and Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon
on this, the Christmas edition here. And you missed the conversation. The end of the day here. I don't know the answer to your question, Matt.
Okay.
But it would be interesting. Now, historically, they've done it before. They've shorted stuff in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, we're not going to bring you in on that conversation about whether or not silver is being shorted by a major player in the marketplace because we can't confirm it. And even if we could, I don't know what you do with that. So, you know, we'll talk about other shiny things.
Yeah, you really should hear us when we go off the air. We're like rabbits going down the wrong trail.
It's
squirreling out of control.
I think that the problem here is that you get a couple of guys that actually find the markets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a lot of you, you're like, oh my gosh, nerd alert. Yeah, we're nerds about that stuff. But it's fascinating to me the way the economics and the plumbing of the market fits together.
Right.
So it's interesting to see what happens. And all of this triggered by you located a silver or what appears to be a silver coin in the studio.
Yep. It's pretty flashy.
Yeah. So anyway.
Where did we leave him off? I think we were talking about like what is the.
We were talking about squirrels and we're not going back there.
Oh yeah, well we could.
Nope. We're going to talk instead. We're going to plan ahead instead of looking back. This is my attempt at segueing back onto the subjects that our show intended. Christmas show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether we talked about all the different reasons for, you know, hacks about making good memories, things like that. We talked about the reason for the season, but let's just for a minute throw the reason out and just acknowledge where we're at. Okay, it's kind of like Halloween for a second when you go, oh, Halloween's a this kind of holiday or that kind of holiday. And I go like, yeah, well, my kids want to dress up in costume and get free candy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the holiday to them. Like, they don't put that much thought into it.
Right.
And so I think there's a whole bunch of people that Christmas is also kind of like, well, no, that's the time of year where we all buy presents and give them to each other. And it doesn't even matter why. We just know that's what happens.
Yep.
And here's what I know happens as a financial pro. Some people do not plan well for this. And then those financial decisions bite them in the butt.
You're talking about the person that doesn't have very much in savings, but they still want to make sure that the kids get all the toys they ever asked for. And so they end up putting $10,000 on a credit card during the holiday season because they had to put the lights on the house and they had to buy the presents and they had to buy the hickory ham.
Yeah.
And then the holidays are over and they're hurting.
Yeah, whatever their rationale for it, they spent more money than they had, right?
Sure.
They broke rule number one in personal finance, right? We have kind of two big rules, right? The first rule, spend less than you make.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I'm trying to remember what I called the second rule, but I mean, it's second rule.
Repeat
still be,
rule number one.
Yeah, see rule number one. So yeah, spend less than you make, and then this rule number two is pay yourself first.
Sure.
Those are the two big rules. If you start with those, then the rest of financial planning can fall in line. But so, those two, you got to kind of know. And they're breaking rule number one of spend less than you make, and then you're giving gifts from money that you don't have.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because like Christmas is that one holiday. Well, I guess they all kind of are, but it's predictable, right? And so you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you could plan around that by doing a couple different things. You could, for example, buy presents in advance. So you could be buying stuff in July when it actually goes on sale.
Yep.
And then just saying, well, we had the money in July to do this, but a lot of people don't. They know it's coming, but they wait till the very last minute and they go shopping 2 days before Christmas and just buy all the things.
Yeah, so, and I think which that, I think is also hard because 2 days before Christmas, a lot of the things aren't even there.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people do the same thing with their retirement accounts.
That's a great segue, by the way. Can we just like give a slow clap to Matt for a second for like working that angle in on Christmas? That I'm not actually joking.
Yeah.
Like that is legit. So please go on about this. I just want to flag it.
Sure. Like, well, how many times have you heard someone, you know, come into the office and be like, hey, you know, I'm retiring within 3 months and then I'm going to be drawing Social Security 6 months after that. What can we do? And you're like, well.
No, more than that, Matt. I just started Social Security and I left my job and now I need to roll over my 401k plan and I want to retire. I want to be able to retire. I'm like, you made all the decisions already.
Yeah.
And what planning are we doing here?
Exactly. Yeah. And so you got to leave a little bit of space to do the planning portion and executing the plan. You can't just at the very end say, well, let's come up with a game plan. No, that's like a football team, right? Like if an NFL football team never practiced, they never drew up any plays, and then the coach just says, all right, well, we have a game tomorrow, show up and I'll give you the playbook then.
I think it's even harder than that. I think it's a little bit like commenting on the game on Monday after it happened the day before. Right?
It's just pointless.
Oh, Sunday's game's over. And now on Monday, we're like, well, I think we should have done all this.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. But why didn't you prepare in advance?
Right? No. But it's not just with the retirement plans, right? It's also with taxes. Like, we're not pre-planning, like, what the tax implications of something might be. How many people wait till they're terminally ill to try and get a will or a trust put in place?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the list goes on and on. So I guess my takeaway for people would be kind of Christmas is teaching that go ahead and get prepared ahead of time so that you're not dealing with the stress in the moment. Because a lot of people are stressed out at Christmas time. They're like, I got to go get all the food, and I got to get all the presents, and I got to get them wrapped, and I got to get the tree, and I got 10 days to do it.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be that way. So if we adopt, you know, this mindset of being prepared, it can help in more than just Christmas. It can help in the finances.
How do you think somebody that's not natively real organized that way, what would you suggest? And I'm asking this because, one, Matt, my observation is that you do kind of think this way.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I've noticed that you have, there's a seasonality to your life. At different points in the year, you're like, well, this is the thing I'm supposed to do right now. And then in the spring, this is a different thing that I do. And then in the summer, this is an even different thing
right.
I do. And so there are these sort of big picture routines that you have developed for yourself that keep you sort of on track and in cadence with a schedule for this.
Yep.
So you don't procrastinate a ton.
No.
Now, this is interesting because I do procrastinate, but have to develop other forms and systems and things to be accountable so that doesn't hold me back.
Yeah. For me, like if I procrastinate, then I get stressed out because there's too many things piled up and then I can't enjoy anything. So I tend, like you said, I do a lot of stuff seasonally and a lot of it comes down to a list. And so like if I just start to get overwhelmed at all with things, I just write out all the things that need to get done and then organize them from which one's most important to which one's least important.
Okay. That, I think, is a really magical statement, everybody. Will you just, I want you to repeat that and explain like a little bit of how the ranking system works in your mind.
Yeah.
So first this started with, I get stressed out. Now, if you're a procrastinator, I can darn near guarantee that you stress yourself out sometimes. And sometimes it is like, well, because it's a stressful decision, I don't want to deal with it, so I defer it. And then the stress gets amplified. Or at some point, the decision gets made by default, right? Like, I ran out of bandwidth, and so now the decision just happened. I didn't get the thing done I was supposed to get done, or something goes wrong, or I had to make shortcuts and sacrifices, and the quality dropped, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with this backdrop of, I'm stressed out about it, and I don't like it. And so you're saying this is how you deal with that sort of feeling.
Yeah, yeah, because think about it. You got... At any given point, there's probably 30 to 40 things that you should be doing, right? Now, whether they're very important or not, that's a whole different conversation. To me, I don't like it when my driveway isn't pressure washed and there's a bunch of moss growing everywhere and it's muddy, right?
Okay.
But is that a really important thing that needs to get done today?
Depends on what else has to get done today.
Exactly. And so it lives on a list. It's pretty low on the list, and so it only gets done maybe once every 2 years. But I prioritize, so I move things around on the list, and the real immediate stuff tends to jump to the top. And so then when I have a free moment to get something done, I don't have to sit there and think about the 50 different things that I could be doing, because then you're not going to get to them. You're going to get overwhelmed, you're going to give up, and you're just going to sit down. But if I can just open up my phone and be like, well, I know what's at the top of the list, let's just do that. It'll get done.
All right. I'm going to ask everybody to take a mental note here. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back to this. And Matt, I'm going to quiz you a little bit on this, because you just described a list, right? And you said, I keep it there and I keep it running.
Yep.
But some of it was, what makes the thing on the list become the thing that gets done next? How are we going to rank that?
Ooh,
I have some thoughts.
That's a good question. Okay?
But we got to grab our last break. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okay, gang, welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio today with
Matt Dixon.
And on this, the last show of 2025 pre-Christmas.
Okay, right? We're coming down to the wire.
We are, and I'm not even sure if I will be doing another show between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
Just the way it works out.
Yep.
So this may be the last show of the year for me.
Okay.
And that is okay, right? Hopefully it's not the last show, period, because this is always fun. But it... When we left the last segment, Matt, you were talking about something I think is really critical, because the holidays can be a stressful event.
Sure.
Because money can be a stressful event. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to try to tie these together. And just real quickly, you have a list, okay?
Yeah.
Sounds like a running list. And you said there's 40 things on it at one point.
Yeah.
And then you just figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit on how do you figure things out, and then I want to give a structure to our listeners on how it maybe you could sort things if you want to do a list of your own, and it will help you to accomplish more and keep the priorities aligned.
So
and you could be surprised how much farther you can go with a system like this.
Right. So one of the things that I do is at the very, very top of the list, I put something that I'm never going to finish accomplishing, but it's something that I want to do regularly or daily. But if I don't put it there, I might not, you know, stick with it, right? So, like, one of the things I have, like, at the very, very top of the list
He's is, looking at his actual
yeah,
list
I did.
Right
I
now,
pulled
by
it up.
The way.
Yeah. I put get up and go walk and get some exercise and pray. So start your morning out with something that... And so that's on the list, and it never gets deleted because it's a constant reminder. Are you actually doing this thing? Because you're always going to start at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing.
Take care of yourself physically and spiritually.
Yep, that right is the first gate. One, yeah. And so that one stays where it is. And then from there, it's stuff like, you know, oh, there's this thing that needs fixed on my pickup truck, right? And you can just go down the list. And the lower you get is stuff that either isn't real urgent or it's something that I don't prioritize that high. One of the lowest things that should have been higher on the list was get a bigger life insurance policy.
Okay. And why was that?
Because
why should it have been higher?
It should have been higher because if I die and don't have it, my wife is in real trouble, right? But it wasn't real high on the list because I don't plan on dying anytime soon. Do you see, like, the conundrum here? But
yes.
I got that finally done, so I need to highlight that or delete it off the list. But it's interesting when you pull it up because, you know, you only check it, you know, maybe once a month or once every couple months, or at least I do. And so that's kind of nice because, you know, I opened up my phone and boom, one of those things I can now check off the list. But I can think of five things that need to go on it.
Well, so let's talk about, first of all, some people don't believe in this, but personally, if you get started on a list and you do two or three things and you realize you have and you want to put them on a list and then cross them off, I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it leads to momentum, great. If it leads to like, well, I guess I'm good now. I check some things off the list. No, you don't want to do that. You want to start a streak, right? Get
right.
a trend going here.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about how one can create a list and get organized. And again, this is all planning stuff, because, and it'll make Christmas easier. You can literally get, like, well, put the Christmas gifts on this list.
Yeah, you can.
Okay? And don't just say Christmas gifts. Say the gift for this person, the gift for that person. Okay? So,
well, there's another hack, too.
Hmm?
There's another hack you can do.
I'm listening.
Set a budget for what the gifts are. My wife and I, when we first got married, there was one year she spent like $1,800 on getting me a bunch of gifts. And I spent like $300 on her. And so we were like, wow, this was really disproportionate. Now, the stuff she got me wasn't something I just wanted. It was something I needed. But now we've got it pretty dialed in because there's a budget and we can say, well, we know that, you know, I'm going to spend $300 on you this Christmas. You can spend $300 on me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can carry that even over to other family. Like our family does a thing where you only get one person. Mm-hmm. So this year I had my brother. That was the person that I'm getting a gift for. So I'm not getting a gift for my mom and for my dad and for...
Yeah, so you kind of do the draw.
And yeah.
And that way, you know, controls the budget.
Yep.
Everybody gets together, has the celebration. Yeah, those are good ideas.
Yeah, so it's a lot less about, you know, the expense of the gift and stuff. It's more about like getting the family together.
Yes. So, I like this list idea. Let me give people a breakdown of how I would suggest you get started. This is not a breakdown from me. This is a breakdown that goes back to the Eisenhower administration.
Ooh.
It's been around four decades.
Did Eisenhower himself come up with this?
He did use this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Tell me about it.
So it's a Punnett square. First thing you do is you just do a brain dump of everything on your list. Anything you can think of, throw it on the list.
Okay.
But you're going to sort it into four categories. Okay. Here are the four categories. There are things that are urgent. There are things that are important. And you're going to draw it as a square, right? So across the top two, you have things that are urgent, things that are important.
Okay.
And then next to it, you have things that are not urgent and not important. And this is a grid, right? So if you have something that is both urgent and important, you need to do that first.
Okay.
If you have something important that's not urgent, it needs to be on the list, but you need to do the things that are urgent and important first.
Okay.
If you have something that is not important, but it's urgent, you need to figure out if you can get somebody else to do it for you. That's a delegate kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you have something that is neither urgent nor important, you need to question why you're doing it at all.
Fair enough. Okay. I like that. That'd be interesting to organize into those categories.
If you organize into those categories, what it does is it gives you a sorting mechanism to say, I need to do the most important things first, but I need to keep the things that are important but not urgent on the list, and I need to make time to do those. Because if I don't, one of two things happens. Either I delay to the point that they become urgent, and now they're on fire.
Yeah.
Or something important doesn't get done, and then you have a different problem.
I don't know if I'd like it. That is the logical way to do things, but I don't like it. You want to know why?
Go on.
Because I feel like I'd spend my whole life doing all the things that are important and urgent, and I'd never get to the fun stuff. I'll give you an example. My duck hunting shotgun has been broke down for like the last 2 years, and it needed a full rebuild. New springs, new everything. And yesterday, there's a lot of things I should have done that were way more important. But I said, to heck with it, I'm going to rebuild my shotgun. So I replaced all the parts. And now it's going to run flawlessly. Now, did that need to be done? No. But inside, I have a lot of joy knowing that the next time I go hunting, I'm not going to have my gun jam.
Okay, let me take this one step further.
All right.
Did rebuilding that adversely impact something in your life that you were supposed to do instead?
That's true. Not really.
Okay. So there wasn't an adverse. What that was important to you, and it was a matter of timing.
Yeah.
And so that is okay, right? If you
But my
didn't...
gutters really need the leaves cleaned out of them.
Okay. Well, you know.
My fascia boards don't like me right now.
Okay. Well, then, you know what? There's some room for discussion.
Are you saying there's a little bit of wiggle room here?
I'm saying that you had a list and those something got done on the list. Most people don't have a list at all, and so they're paralyzed and nothing happens at all.
So what if someone doesn't have a list of all the financial things that they need to do or need to get done?
You know, that is a great opportunity to reach out to a planner.
Ah,
and
there you go. Look
you
at
know,
that segue.
And if you don't know one, maybe they could call us, Matt. How would they reach us?
Yep. You can call or text at 541-375-0898. And one of these days, I'm accidentally going to give my cell phone out. You just watch.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. You know, so as I'm looking at the tail end here and getting ready to send you off, we're going to wish you a Merry Christmas, of course.
Yep.
And what we're going to say is, hey, give us a call at, 541-375-0898. And until next time, Merry Christmas.
Yep.